The leaders of both the House and Senate Armed Services Committees say they're taking an incremental approach to acquisition reform in their respective versions of this year's defense authorization bill. The Senate version, though, released last week, appears to try to achieve more change within a single year. The measure tackles everything from the role of the military service chiefs in procurement decisions to the acquisition workforce and establishing new alternative pathways to buying goods and services, and pressing the Defense Department to make more use of commercial technology. In a briefing with reporters on Wednesday, the IT Alliance for Public Sector, a lobbying group for federal IT contractors, said it had no significant objections to the defense bills. The group is especially enthusiastic about provisions that would require DoD to give more preference to commercial technologies when making its procurement decisions. Pamela Walker handles defense and homeland security matters at ITAPS.
When you read the report language, especially on the Senate side, they have some pretty good commentary that's in there over and over again to tell DoD, look, if you're going to get the commercial stuff, the COTS stuff, you don't need to have it modified to do this. They're using this worldwide. Why can't you use it? And so that language is in there over and over to stop increasing the cost. Use it. You don't need to modify it.
The Senate bill attempts to prod DoD into using more commercial technologies by reasserting a preference for off-the-shelf technologies that the committee says Congress has always wanted, but has ebbed and flowed over the past two decades of DoD authorization bills, and that the department has sometimes ignored. For example, it includes provisions that would require DoD to conduct research into the commercial market and only allows the department to buy government-customized technology if acquisition officials can demonstrate that commercial IT solutions won't suffice. The legislation also makes several changes to how DoD classifies commercial items versus the military hardware it's used to buying in its traditional acquisition procedures. For instance, if the department decides an item is commercial, officials will need to apply that decision consistently across all of its procurements of the same item and not change its decisions from year to year. Erica McCann is the Director for Federal Procurement at ITAPS.
One of the challenges that the department has faced and industry has faced is even if a commercial item has been deemed a commercial item year after year after year, the contracting officer can have a different set of data and change his mind on it. And so, 10 years into it, on the 10th year, they can say, well, I don't care that it was a commercial item the past 9 years. I don't think it is anymore. And they can change that determination. Sometimes that's fair. But most of the time, it's probably not, because if it's been sold commercially, it's already commercial, right? And so there's some really, really strong language that directs them to say, once something has been determined to be commercial, let's keep it commercial. I don't think there's a huge leverage point, though, that would keep them there.
For contractors, the distinction between commercial and defense unique is vital. If DoD designates something it wants to buy as commercial, the Federal Acquisition Regulation provides for a somewhat streamlined acquisition process, which assumes that the government doesn't need to put as much legwork into determining a fair price, since private sector companies are buying the same items in a free marketplace at similar prices. But industry officials have criticized the department for past decisions which have pushed DoD contracting officers to reach their own independent determinations about whether the commercial products they're buying are indeed fairly priced. And that often means demanding cost and pricing data in government-specific format from companies which aren't accustomed to providing or even collecting that sort of data. Trey Hodgkins, ITAP's senior vice president, says the new NDAA provisions would ensure those demands are only imposed on companies as a last resort.
The first thing you're supposed to do is, I'm buying a laptop, I'm supposed to go out and do some basic market research. How much can I buy a laptop with X size screen, such and such memory, computing power, whatever? That's standard market research you're supposed to do, and that is the first stop when you have a commercial item is, can I just determine that this is a fair price for this item because it's sold on Amazon or eBay or CDW or some other company's websites for the same prices or something similar. Cost and pricing data, unfortunately, has become the first stop, or too frequently a much sooner stop in the process. Now that has something to do with oversight. We have a risk-averse acquisition workforce. They continue to be risk-averse. They don't want to make decisions that, an IG is going to second-guess whether or not they actually got a fair and reasonable price for the taxpayer, and they don't want to create a situation where their boss gets called before a congressional hearing because of a decision they made about something they want to buy.
Both the House and Senate bills also address longstanding industry complaints surrounding the technology industry's liability for counterfeit products that make their way into the defense supply chain. A provision in the 2012 defense bill gave companies the ultimate responsibility to ensure that no counterfeit parts were included in their final products and saddled them with 100% of the financial costs of replacing counterfeit parts with genuine ones if a fake part was discovered. But a new provision in the House version of the bill would grant liability protections to companies as long as those firms are following the regulations DOD has prescribed for detecting them.
And the piece that this inserts in that process is if a contractor makes the investments to protect the supply chain the way the government prescribes and there's still a failure, then that failure is shared jointly between the contractor and the government, not just the contractor. We've tried multiple years to get to this point where, you know, they would share the liability when they're prescribing how we're supposed to look for counterfeit parts. And it's in the prescription that's the challenge. You know, it may not be what industry deems is the best. We know that the government doesn't always keep pace with abilities to do things like detect threats and counterfeits. And so the idea was, if we're going to do this the way the government tells me I have to do it, and there's still a failure, then the government should share some of the liability for that additional failure.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.